Acts chapter 16, Paul said, believe in the Lord and you will be saved. And immediately, not later, not tomorrow, not when he felt like it. Verse 33 says, immediately the jailer and his household were baptized. There's something to be said about being in obedience to the Word of God. If you need to be saved, we need to have repentance. We need to have baptism in the name of Jesus. And we need the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Hear me tonight. Challenges come. Struggles come. In fact, they should be expected. Trials and tribulations on every hand. That's the human condition. But we are not alone. We have a loving God who will hold our hand and take us on our journey. By the power of his name, by the power of his authority and who he is, and by the power of the blood, he has assured us victory tonight. Can I get an amen? I just want to take a few moments in this atmosphere just to worship and to praise him and to remember we who were once sinners by the precious blood of the Lamb, we are now servants. We who were lost are now found. We who were afraid are now bold in the Spirit. We who were weak are now strong by the power of the living God. We who were unfaithful can now be committed to our walk with him. We who were broken are now made whole by the precious blood of the Lamb, by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, by the mercy of a living God. Oh, let's give God a victory shout tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. But don't go far. Praise God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I came with great expectation in my heart tonight that the miraculous still happens in God's house. Slide person, get my slide up there. Thank you. 2,000 years later, and the cross has never lost its power. It can still stir man's hearts, and it can still draw us into his presence. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all he has done for me, my soul cries out, hallelujah, praise God for saving me. Amen. Praise God for saving me. When I think of the goodness of Jesus. Folks, I have a lot of scripture tonight. You don't have to stand, just bear with me. I preach what I know and not what I don't know. So I know that God loves me. And that God shed his blood for me and filled me with his Holy Ghost. And I am better today than when I started. Yes, and I will stay with him and he will stay with me along life's journey. Right. Last time I was here, I preached a sermon about the forensic look on the road to Emmaus. I talked about an evidence principle called the Lucard principle. And you remember that when I explained that when two items come together, whatever they are, that they exchange principles with each other. There is something that happens. There's a transfer, no matter how brief, no matter how minor. When two things come in contact, they exchange principles with each other. And that's why I said baptism in Jesus' name is so powerful. Because when we go down in the water in Jesus' name, hallelujah, we give him our sin. The exchange takes place, and he gives us forgiveness. We go down weak, and he gives us strength. We go down troubled, and we come up a new creation in Christ, because he wants to take upon him our burdens and our sin. Hallelujah. There is something to be said about being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, sometimes I get a little off track, so you'll have to bear with me. But I want to give a practical application tonight, because I think when you see something, it's better sometimes than just hearing it. Amen? Pastor talked one time about you can talk about an apple all you want to. I remember that sermon, Pastor. In fact, every time you guys preach, I make notes. And he said, I can talk about that apple, and I can describe that apple, and I can tell you how great that apple is. But I want to tell you, until you taste that apple, when you taste the goodness of Jesus, hallelujah, when you get to that place where it's just beyond somebody telling you about it, but that you can reach out and you can feel it and you can experience the love of Jesus Christ, I'm telling you, lives can be changed. Amen. You can be a new creation in Christ. Taste, and it is good. Amen. Well, there's my patient. I have to go see him. I'm the doctor tonight for just a few moments. Bear with me. You got to be praying. You're in serious trouble. You don't even know it. Somebody say amen. Pray for my brother up here. He needs help. Life is uncertain. Can I get a witness? Life is unpredictable. Things happen in the blink of an eye. You're laughing 1 minute, and you're knocked down and saying, what happened to me the next? Life is uncertain. We go through a life of just puzzlement sometimes. But folks, it's better to go through life with him than it is to go without him. I'll just tell you that right now. Stand up. You go to the doctor. All you're doing, you're going in for your yearly physical. How do you feel?
Good.
You look terrible. How do you feel?
Terrible.
Now, see, now I've convinced him he's terrible. You just go in for a routine check. The doctor comes in and he looks at you and he says, man, you're a mess. You're a train wreck. In fact, we got to take some tests. So the doctor takes some blood work and he's gone for half an hour. And of course, he's already planning his trip to Hawaii. And he comes back and he says, I know you just came in for a routine check, but I want to tell you, your body's a mess. You got to start giving some things up. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. What do you want to give up? TV. No, that ain't going to work. Ain't going to make you healthy. You got to get rid of the onion rings and Burger King. It's killing you. Your blood looks like maple syrup. You're a train wreck. There's something wrong with you. You got to give up chocolate cookies. You're done. It's killing you. Your cholesterol is so high, we had to start a new chart just to get you there. What? No more pizza. You're going to die. It's all over with. But you have to stop because it's killing you. No more milkshakes. None. You're finished. If you want to be healthy and make it through this world, and I hate to say it, but there is no more cherry chocolate chunk ice cream. You're finished, my friend. You're a mess. But you see, this is what happens. You can start the day and go to the doctor for a routine checkup. And he comes back and he gives you the worst news of your life. And all of a sudden, your world is turned upside down. Folks, life is uncertain. Have a seat. Uh-oh. Somebody say amen and clap your hands. Clap them again. I need a few more seconds. You go to the dentist. You go to the dentist. You're just going to go for a routine cleaning, right? How's your teeth? How good? Yeah, I'll let you know how good they are in just a minute. You go in for a routine cleaning. And all of a sudden, the technician says, man, we got to take an x-ray. Somebody, can I get a witness? And all of a sudden, you know, the dentist, technician goes back to the dentist and says, we're going to have a trip to Aruba on this guy. It's going to be great. This guy's got a cavity the size of a crater on the moon. And the doctor walks in. He says, man, you need some help. And he says, but doc, I only came in for a checkup and a cleaning. But the doctor says, oh no, oh no, we have to do some work. First, we've got to get out the Novocaine. Oh, I'm sorry, get out the Novocaine. Yes. You know what it's like, right? You got 10 fingers stuck in your mouth. You don't even know who they belong to. The suction machine's going. Your face is so numb, your lips hanging down to your ankles, right? Oh, what? More Novocaine. No problem. No problem. Don't suffer. There. And he comes back. Because life is uncertain. And you don't know what's going to happen your way. I'll be back to fill in a little while. Get out of here. Give my patient a hand clap. Life is uncertain. We don't know what the outcome is. But when we come to Jesus, there is no uncertainty. There is no doubt. There is no question. When we have Jesus in our life, we are assured of victory. God formed us, and sin deformed us, and Jesus has reformed us. Oh, say it. Oh, thank you, Jesus. That's why I always preach repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and infilling of the Holy Ghost. There's three that bear witness. Amen. There's the water, there's the Spirit, and there's the blood. And they all agree in one. Folks, we need to be born of the Spirit. We need to be born of the water. We need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ to have the blood applied to our life. And I don't care how uncertain our life is, God has the answer for us. And better we go through life with Him than we go through this life without Him. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap. Praise and worship. Thank God. Hallelujah. I'm worn out. I may not get through this. Where's my technician up there? My slide's not coming up. Run, girl. Pull me up Hebrews 11. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. And here's my key verse. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Praise God. My message tonight, that wasn't my message, that was just a prelude. I just felt that in my heart to do that, just to remind us that there is a God who loves us. And there's a God who cares for us. And whether the doctor gives you a bad report or you're paying for the dentist's trip to Aruba, God will be with you. And Brother Hunter, when you go in that surgery tomorrow, the same God that's in here is going to be right there with you over there. He's going to be with those surgeons. He's going to be with those nurses. And when you wake up, the same God's going to be there. When you spend the night and you come home, the same God's going to be with you. Amen. Amen. Because He said He would never leave us and He would never forsake us. Right. And He's closer than a friend or a brother is my God. Praise God. So what am I going to talk about? Well, I needed a title. So I'm going to talk about the forensic view of creation. Since I happen to know forensic science, why not? Sounds good to me. You may not be entertained. It's a good message. Psalm says, for you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. and I know it full well. Amen. Folks, I'd like to talk to you for a little while tonight about how wonderfully made we are and how absolutely ignorant is the theory of evolution. This is the human brain cell. Cells are neat. You have, on average, 34 trillion cells in your body. That's by volume. 84 trillion by weight. It's kind of like that half-empty cereal box you buy at the store, sold by weight, not by volume. So there it is. This is your brain cell. Some people have more, some have less. But inside every cell in your body, and this is a human cell opened up, in that tiny little space, there's something called a mitochondria. And in that little mitochondria is your DNA. And if I could just take that DNA under a microscope and just pull it out, it would be 24 feet long. Think about that. Folks, that's not random. That's the divine hand of God in creation. That every cell, every 34 trillion cells in your body has DNA in it. And in that DNA is the building blocks of life. Now, there are others who would like to tell you that we came from a primordial swamp. That there was once upon a time this big, bubbling, stinking cesspool of a swamp. And that there was lightning flashing all around. And over the course of a gazillion years, from out of nowhere, these molecules became cells. And these cells one day got all together and became a fish. Yeah. And this fish, over another 100 gazillion years, grew legs. Learned how to breathe on land, and he learned how to walk. And after another 100 gazillion years, this poor fish decided he was cold. So he clothed himself with fur, and then he decided that he liked bananas and Fruit Loops. So somehow, this fish became a monkey. And after a, now folks, I have some relatives who may act like monkeys, but trust me, they're. But evolution wants you to believe that out of randomness, the 34 trillion cells that make you, you, just happened. That you just happened to appear on the earth. And not only that, but the same cells that made that monkey out of randomness made a polar bear. Hey, I want to tell you, if you got a polar bear this close to your camera lens, You are on the menu for lunch. Just the word. But not only did those random cells make a monkey that turned into a polar bear, but turned into a human being. Folks, it is the most idiotic thing, the most unscientific thing, and the most unsupportable thesis that's ever been perpetrated upon mankind. From a monkey to a polar bear, to Einstein. But folks, God made us.
That's right.
God made us. Amen. And he made us, amen, according to his purpose and according to his will.
Right.
We did not crawl out of some swamp.
Right.
We are not some ancestors to a monkey.
Right.
For all of you in this house tonight, I want to tell you that we are descendant from Adam. But we are ascendant unto Jesus Christ. Praise God. One day, a trump will sound. One day, there will be a shout. One day, the eastern sky will split open. And all this foolishness that has tied us up is going to stop. Because I am looking forward to that day when my Lord and my Savior comes back and take me home so I can be with Him and not have to put up with this foolishness. Now, folks, there are smart people, and then there's smart people, and then there are really smart people. But, folks, I lost my slide there. Back me up one. There he is. Who is that guy? Einstein. Now, folks, you can take an entire family of monkeys. You can put them in a room. You can give them all the bananas and Fruit Loops they want. And in 100,000 years from now, when you come back, and you give them all this plutonium, uranium to begin with, 100,000 years later, I promise you, when you come back, you may have monkeys that glow in the dark, but you are not going to have an atomic bomb. It is not going to happen because evolution is foolishness. And there's no way that a monkey is ever going to create an atomic bomb. It may glow in the dark, may be fat on bananas, but nothing of any purpose is going to happen. Folks, it is junk science. It's a joke. Evolution is political. Evolution is manipulation. Evolution is not built upon facts in the slightest bit. So is the fallacy of global warming. It's political, it's manipulation, and it's built upon computer models. Folks, they said, they had these models 30 years ago. They said, today you and I should be swimming out here in 100 feet of water. Well, that didn't happen. So now they have new models that say 30 years from now we're going to be swimming in water up to our necks. Folks, let me tell you, there's no science behind it. It's just junk science. You cannot have facts built upon just a computer model. It doesn't work. Amen? Okay, so you're with me. So this is Einstein. Everybody knows that formula, right? E equals MC squared. Right? You got it in school? You're with me? Yes? No? Science? Okay. Hopefully, someday. He was a theoretical physicist. Einstein spent his life, bear with me, he spent his entire creative life trying to understand light. Now, we know that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. So Einstein had this theory, well, if I turn on a flashlight and I can run as fast as that light of beam, that beam of light, I can see what it's made of. Well, that theory didn't work. So then he tried to express it in setting in a tram car and how it looks from inside a train and outside a train and all that other nonsense I don't have time to get into. But folks, he spent his entire life trying to understand the mind of God. And he never got there. Now, E equals MC squared is easy. E represents what? Units of energy. And that is expressed as what? Mass. Right? For M is mass, and C2 is the speed of light squared. So, what does that mean? It's real easy. We understand that mass and energy are related, and that in rare instances, mass can be converted to pure energy. And this equation just tells us how much energy there shall be. Let me make it simple. If you're fat and overweight, you may have a lot of mass, but you don't have a lot of energy. But if you're thin and an athlete, you have less mass, but a lot of energy. Bishop, the only thing I've ever found that made sense with Einstein is that you and I were young once, and we were thinner once. And we had a smaller shadow. But as our mass has increased, we now cast a bigger shadow. Amen? That's the only thing I can tell you about Einstein that was accurate as far as I'm concerned. So, the more mass you have, the less energy you have. That's right, you got to get rid of the pizza and all that other crazy stuff. So, relativity, another great idea, right? Can somebody tell me about relativity, what it means? Am I losing you? I'll hurry up. I need a volunteer. Oh, yes, you. You got that scared look in your face. Come here, come here, come here. Come here. Okay, turn around. Isn't she beautiful? Isn't she sweet? She's got the Holy Ghost that makes her really Amen. Beautiful. Amen. Oh, what's he going to do? Is it the drill? Is it the Novocaine? What's coming? Oh, she's praying already. Oh, Lord. You find the boy of your dreams. And you spend hours with him. But it only seems like minutes. But you go over and you set yourself on a hot stove. And those minutes seem like hours. That's relativity. Now you can go to school and get an A. Thank you. Give her a hand clap. Einstein was a genius. He had the traits of a genius. They're not very careful about how they take care of themselves. They always walk around most of the time with their shoes untied. They lose stuff, misplace things, seem distracted, introverted. Okay, next Sunday when I walk in here, I don't want to see a bunch of youth walking around with their shoes untied, staring off into the distance. It's not going to work. All the degrees that he had, all the training that he had, all the time that he spent trying to understand the mind of God, this man died bitter, he died angry, and he died lost. There he is in later years. If he had just opened up his Bible, if he had just read these words, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." If Einstein had just opened his Bible and read Genesis 1:3, and God said, "Let there be light," he would have had a perfect understanding and would have been at peace. If he had just opened up the scripture to John 1 and said that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, the Word was with God, the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him. Amen? And without him was not anything made that was made. And in him was life. And had he gone down to verse 14, he would have read, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." He didn't believe in God at the end of his days. He died lost, miserable, and angry. For someone who was so smart, someone who insisted that he could understand the mind of God in creation, died lost. In fact, his statement was, "I believe in Spinoza's God who reveals himself in orderly harmony of what exists." He didn't believe in a God who concerns himself with humanity and the fate of mankind. He had written God off completely. Folks, don't be a walnut. Einstein, in all of his wisdom, turned out to be no smarter than a bag of hammers or a walnut because he turned his back on the revelation of God. Folks, if we are going to have victory in this life, if we are going to understand anything about our relationship with God, musicians would come. I'm going to close here in a minute. We must understand that we are the creation of God. And he formed us, and he gave us eternal life. Amen? But by sin, death came. But by the blood of Jesus, life comes again. Folks, there is no evolution. There is only a God who is their creator. who has created all things, our focus needs to be upon our relationship with Him. Yes. Amen? Amen. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not upon your own understanding. And in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. If you'd stand with me tonight. I'd like to repeat something that the pastor did this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there somebody here tonight who needs to repent of something that they've said or done or going on in their life? Just raise your hand. Thank you. There's somebody here who needs to be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins in the precious name of Jesus. Would you raise your hand tonight? Thank you. You may open your eyes. Folks, I encourage the church tonight to remember that regardless of the situations we find ourselves in, that God is always with us. And though life is uncertain, if we could be at that place of relationship with Him, our victory is assured. Do not walk out of here with sin in your heart. There's an altar that is open to be prayed for and to pray through. Do not walk out of here if you have not been baptized the right way. When I was younger, I was baptized Father, Son, Holy Ghost, only to realize years later that those were nothing but titles. But when I read in Scripture that the only way people were baptized in all of Scripture was in the name of Jesus. Folks, no matter how you have been baptized, if you have not been baptized in that name, I encourage you tonight, before you walk out of here, before the uncertainty of life comes upon us again, be baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And for those who are hungering for the Holy Ghost, I believe that you can get filled with the Holy Ghost tonight. That God's power is not diminished by our intellect of what we think or how we feel. God is still God. He still reigns in all power and all majesty. He sits upon the throne of all glory. And all He has ever wanted to do was to bless us, to heal us, to love us, and to draw us closer into a relationship with Him. If you'd come with me around the altar tonight, lift up our hands and our hearts to the Lord. I'll ask Pastor LJ to wrap this up tonight. God bless all of you and thank you.
It's the best trade in the world. We trade in our past, and He gives us a far better future. I love that statement. We were born, He formed us, sin deformed us, God reformed us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made and remade, and I thank God for everything He is doing. If you're able to help us tomorrow, if you're among those who have already committed to helping us with the workday tomorrow, would you please just meet me up here at this front row? We want to make sure we have everything we need and everybody has everything they need if they have any questions about what we're going to be doing and what time and all. So if you are helping with the workday tomorrow, please meet us right here in this front row. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Thank you for being in.